Thank you much. Welcome. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio Wednesday afternoon. This segment is Stewardship Wednesday, and we talk about all the aspects of stewardship in farming: financial stewardship, land stewardship, soil health, and of course, one of the choruses we sing over and over again are cover crops. And those, along with interseeding, is a research project that's led by Mike Ostley, the director of the Carrington Research Extension Center in Carrington, North Dakota. Mike, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. I guess just trying to hunker down here a little bit before the storm, but doing all right otherwise.
What's the buzz in Carrington? Are we going to get a foot of snow? Are we going to get a foot and a half? I mean, what are people, what's the rumor flying around?
Oh, yeah, it sure sounds like somewhere in between there, I guess. We're all doing what we can to get everything put away here, and hopefully we don't get too high of banks. I guess that's hoping the wind's not so bad.
Yeah. Since Monday, I've been saying everybody make good travel choices and make good decisions and all that, but more importantly, take good care of the cows. So as the director of the Carrington REC, have you been leaning on Carl Hoppe to take good care of his cows?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we do have a very good team down at the our livestock unit, and yeah, they've been doing a great job of getting everything ready, and we're all stocked up and ready to go. Got snow equipment ready to clear out the lots and get those cows fed. So I think we're in good shape there. But you know what? Credit to those guys; they know they're going to be going into another a couple of rough days.
Yeah, but not their first rodeo when it comes to winter. And
absolutely,
we could go Monday. It was 70 degrees here, and now we've got this sudden onset of winter. So, all right. Well, this summer you did a lot of research, continuing on your interseeding. First of all, tell everybody what interseeding is, and maybe what you learned this year.
Sure. Yeah, so one of the big things that I get a little bit excited about is when we can plant and harvest two crops at the same time. And we've been doing a lot of that over the last few years, and continuing on. We got a few new farmers that we're working with and a few new combinations that we're trying. But even some of the older stuff we've been looking at turned out a little bit different this year. So, for instance, one of the safer combinations that we're looking at is the is planting field peas and canola together. And I tell you what, so we actually made a big mistake. We let the flea beetles get a little bit out of hand and pretty well decimated the canola in some of it. But you know what we learned?
What do you learn?
When you have two crops growing together and you take one out, the other one actually fills in pretty nice, and we actually ended up with some very nice field pea yields.
Now, was that due to the canola, or why did you have a great field pea yield?
Well, you know, I suppose it was fertilized a little bit, but you know, mostly just because you know, we had two crops growing, we had two chances to succeed, and the conditions favored the one that succeeded, and you know, we still ended up with one crop, even though we were hoping for two. But ultimately, the yields ended up being very similar to what you would have planted, what you got if you'd have just planted the field peas alone. So, in a way, it's a little bit controlling your own crop insurance.
That's an interesting way of putting it. So, how did the flea beetles get out of control? Were you just, did you kind of forget about it for a while, a day or three, and then they all of a sudden?
Yeah, it was, you know, they were, of course, pretty high pressure this spring. And, yeah, it actually ended up being we used an expired product on one of them and on one of our applications and didn't catch it for a few days.
Well, you have to give Randy Melhoff a call up there in Langdon as far as expertise on canola. But so yep. What are some other great combinations when you plant two crops in the same field in the same year?
Yeah, so another one that we're getting a little more excited about is the soybeans and canola. I think that opens up the door for a lot more people to begin experimenting with it. And We've had one grower in particular that's tried it out a few times now, and been a couple of learning years in it, but I think he's pretty optimistic about it. We're giving it a try here too. I don't actually have that one figured out yet as far as how it performed, but I was pretty happy with the way it looked out in the field, and I think it's going to be a potentially a really interesting combination. And the maturities don't line up quite as good as they do with the field peas in canola, so I think it's going to be important to have a shatter-resistant canola variety in the mix. But barring that, I think they grow together pretty well otherwise. So we'll see how that turns out here once we get a little bit further into the winter.
What's more important, to plant two crops that are harvested at the same time or two crops that are harvested at different times?
Well, it really depends on what you're trying to do. And, we have such a limited growing season here. There's maybe a few options we can use to do more of a relay type system, like what you mentioned, with two different harvest dates. My preference is to have less passes across the field if we can, come out a little bit better ahead that way. And, really, our goal here is to actually see large increases in yield when we do the two together. Mm-hmm. And we are at times. My goal when we're doing two crops together is to get 30% more yield per acre. And you don't always get that target, but we can get it pretty regularly with some combinations. And, I think at that point it becomes fairly attractive and fairly economical.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, well, the two should obviously have a symbiotic relationship with each other. But a lot of people do plant a legume to increase the mm-hmm. nitrogen in the soil, but they plant a legume so that next year they'll have will a field pea provide nitrogen for this year's crop, for the canola, for example?
Yeah, that's there's a research group in Saskatchewan that's trying to answer exactly how much may or may not get moved during the same season. And I guess some of the preliminary results, I believe, show that, yes, there is some level of transfer. It's not a high level, but there is some kind of a benefit there to having a legume the same year you have your other crop.
Yeah.
But the other benefit there is, too, that, even your non-legume crop, you're going to put be adding a little bit less fertilizer because there's a little bit less of it in the field. So gaining a little more yield and very likely applying less inputs. So it's a little bit more hassle, a little bit harder to figure out. But I think the benefits most of the time are going to outweigh the extra time and complexity.
For sure, yeah. Well, speaking of complexity, I've seen, this is a concept that really fascinates me, and I've spent a little time watching videos on, and some people, as you mentioned, have two crops which are harvested at the same time and then use mm-hmm. an optical or specific gravity sorter to separate the two and mm-hmm. then bin them separately or haul one to town or whatever. One that I kind of find fascinating is wheat and soybeans, where the wheat, when it's late July, early August time to harvest, the soybeans are shorter than the top of the wheat, so you can go through with a straight cut and just clip off the wheat heads, run them through the combine. You've got a wheat stubble there to protect the soybeans, which grow up mm-hmm. and no weed pressure. So that's another interesting combination.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's using some of the same concepts in that you have two different plant types in there that are using water and nutrients in different ways at different times of the year, really trying to get the most out of each area of your field. Those types of practices work a little bit better further south, I think, but I know there's interest in some people trying to figure out how to make that work here. And, I hope we do see more things like that. I mean, we've known for years that strip cropping outperforms monocropping in a lot of cases, and that what you're talking about there is almost like a smaller scale version of strip cropping. And so there are certainly combinations that I think could pay off in the long run.
For sure. All right, well, those are all great topics, whether they're in your lab or the farmers partners that you have in the Carrington area. All good things to talk about at the Central Dakota Ag Day, which is what, about 5-6 weeks away now. Give us the details on that.
Yeah, you bet. So our Central Dakota Ag Day is kind of our big winter meeting here that we host now, and it'll be December 16th. I feel like we got a pretty good lineup set up for that day, and I hope to see people come out. We got three different tracks that we're working off of, one on some general agronomy topics, one on some livestock topics, and then kind of a third track that's a little bit more, for maybe the non-traditional farmer, if you will. A track that's kind of focused on just rural life. So, for instance, updates on some of the best vegetable varieties that have been tested in the state. There's the topic on German-Russian Christmas traditions, and there's even a session on how to make and prepare grain sheaves, which I personally might be interested in attending that one too. Something I've never done, but I've always wanted to.
Or send your wife to that one, because and then yeah. She'll teach you about. All right, great. Central Dakota Ag Day, December 16th in Carrington. Mike Ostley, director of the NDSU Carrington REC. Thanks for pushing the envelope for creating a new paradigm for agriculture. I guess we got to create a new and better future. So thanks for helping to do that.
I appreciate the time, Mick. Stay safe out there, everybody, and have a good blizzard.
We'll kind of stay home, stay safe. Thanks, Mike. Talk to you later.
You bet.
Hey, let's control some obnoxious weeds next.